Well, like they've got organisations you can get up for accommodation and that, but you've got to meet so many criteria to get it. Like there's a couple of boys up where we live in the Koori unit who had parole granted and then were told the night before they were going home that it was not granted because of accommodation. And like one of the lads, like his sister and family come down, pick him up, long trip, some of them come from up Wallaga Lake way, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I got to the prison, they didn't offer him a phone call to ring his mob.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think, like, it could be organised a lot better. You know what I mean? Like, the day before you're going home, this, like, in jail, it's like a thing, like, when you're going home, you leave, you know, books or whatever to other lads, this lad had given all his belongings away to be told he's not going home. Basically, a couple of weeks before you go home, you do a TAP program. They give you a dole check, organise that, New Start or pension or whatever it may be. You get a concession card that lasts you, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The only time you've got a job lined up, and this is unfortunately not with many of the brothers, is other Gabar lads, their families own a business. So they walk out of prison into on a job. You know what I mean? There's no one looks for a job for you on your own. You know what I mean? They don't even put you in contact with an employment agency. You know what I mean? You're given your dole check, your belongings at the front, your concession card, and told if you got parole, let's say, to attend a parole appointment on any given day. Then you're on your own. There's no contact.
And you're leaving here like with 3 feeds a day, a bed, and you're going out there to no feeds a day and no bed.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, probably the lads that come in, back in, I'd say, probably 70-80% of breach of parole. And a lot of them, it could be avoided, you know what I mean? They've got no accommodation or they've got no money to get to an appointment. So some of them are getting pinched for fines, jumping trains and trams. But they live in, say, Preston. They've got an appointment in Broadmeadows. How do they get there if they haven't got a car or no money? So you're left to your own accord, and it's not as easy as they think it is. No. When you only get that little bit of money, and as you know, these days everything's expensive, you know. When you've been in prison for a long time, you get outside and it's a shock. Everything's, you know, I wouldn't say cheap in here, but there's a lot more extra costs outside. You know what I mean? You don't have to pay for transport here. You get driven to the other jail, you know. Yeah.
What are we actually telling them that is need out there?
Well, I think they need to come in and speak to the boys firsthand, you know what I mean? Said it, like, they have a lot of the meetings between the big knobs in the city, but they don't exactly know what we need.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, the first thing should be done, they want you to live a stable life outside. You can't live that unless you've got a stable accommodation. A lot of boys are getting put in hostels, and there might be 30 people living in this hostel. You're coming straight out from jail, you may have an old drug habit, yeah? Once you've had a drug addiction, you're basically on a drug addiction for life. And you're living in this hostel where people across the road from you using drugs. You've got parole things you've got to meet to. That stresses you out. You see these people using drugs because you're living 6 feet from them. So it is, you're putting a drug addict in a, you know, high-risk area. Instead of, you know, understanding their needs and putting them in a accommodation away from that and giving them services, you know, to go to. It's just very rushed. It's like out the door you go and then good luck, you know what I mean?
And what is it, only like one or two paroles or one or two muck-ups and then that's it? I was just speaking to an uncle the other day and I was saying it would be better for a person if they could just put in a phone call because it'll be easier for them to get to a phone than actually an appointment, even though I feel like, it's fair enough, it's... They've got to be, you know, like there to see how they react and if they are on drugs or whatever or something.
Maybe those parole officers should be coming around to see yous. Yeah. And that'll take that pressure off yous for...
That's what they do in New South Wales, yeah. Some of them up that way, see. And that's what they do when you see them, they come around to your place and see you at your own house. You don't have to go to the parole officer or nothing. They come around or they give you a phone so you can ring them and that's all you got to do. You ring them and tell them that, I'm home, and they say, all right, no worries, thanks for signing in, and that's all they do. They should be doing the same thing over here for the brothers here.
Oh, I agree, exactly. Because
this is my first time, right, in Fulham here, you know, and it's not a yard that's cut off from everybody, where everyone is here, but in the amount of time I've been here for the first time, and this is going to be my first parole, that's if I get it, is there's been like four people come back that the brothers have told me about, you know? Like, and they've just come in and they've just said it's only a breach of parole.
You know how, like in prison, like with some of the screws here, they do courier courses to get them to know about, like, our culture and that, yeah? Maybe the parole officers should be doing that too. Yeah, because sometimes they might, like, just say, like, I've heard of brothers, like, I had to go to a funeral, yeah? And they go, no, you have to go to this appointment, rah, rah, rah. And they go, yeah, and the prof said, yeah, but that's not a close family member. And it was his auntie, and he tried to explain how it worked in the kinship family. Yeah, and then he wasn't, like, he tried to speak to him, rang him up, was told he had to go. Well, he's gone to the funeral. Instead of, like, after that, he just went on the run. He thought, I'm going to get breached anyway. You know what I mean? Like, there was no, they didn't understand, you know what I mean?